Right. So this reading comes from 2 Kings, chapter 5, and it's Naaman healed of his leprosy. Now, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who's in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I'll send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Make the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is actually an interpretation of Luke chapter 8.
Martha, my neighbor, she's just been in to see me. She was so excited. "You'd never believe it," she said. "The little girl, Jairus' daughter, she died. She was really dead. And Jesus raised her from the dead. Can you believe it? Can you believe he actually did that?" Then she was gone, dear Martha, off to tell someone else the good news. Can I believe it? Oh, I can believe it. He's done it before. You see, I know a lot about Jesus. Stuck inside my house, I shunned by everybody. This is what has kept me going. Listening to people outside the window, talking, and they talk a lot about Jesus.
I know a lot about Jesus. He's done some amazing things. I've seen him at the synagogue teaching with such authority. There are other religious leaders who seem to hate him, but I can't understand that. It all seems to make perfect sense when he speaks. And he doesn't just speak. He heals people. He changes lives with a word or a touch, casting out demons, healing physical deformities.
He healed a leper, a demon-possessed man, a centurion's servant who was close to death, and yes, in Nain, he raised to life the only son of a poor widow.
How I longed for my daughter to feel that healing touch. She was so sick. I knew she was dying. This man was my only hope. If only he would come to my daughter, my beautiful daughter, just 12 years old.
12 years I've been suffering with sickness. 12 years I've been bleeding. No one has been able to heal me. I've spent all my money on doctors, and instead of getting better, I've been getting worse. And the worst thing is that there's no one to share the suffering with. No one has come near me. I was unclean, unacceptable. Who in their right mind would come near me? Martha would come by occasionally and bring me some food, but then she didn't stay. I mean, why would she? So I was left on my own, just waiting to die.
And then, like an answer to prayer, there he was, Jesus, in our village. A large crowd had gathered to welcome him. I had to take this opportunity, so I ran to meet him. And then in front of the crowd, I fell on my knees before him, and I begged him to come to my house. "Please, Master," I cried, "please come. My daughter is dying. Please come and heal my daughter." "Yes," he said, "show me the way."
And then there he was, walking through our village. I heard the crowds at first, and then I heard his name. I went to the window and I looked out. A huge crowd of people was there. I recognized a few of them. Jairus from the synagogue, leader of the synagogue, he was there. He looked desperate, as if, as I came closer, I could hear what he was saying. "My daughter, my daughter, please heal my daughter," over and over again, he said. He was out of his mind with worry. Ah, so that's where Jesus was going. This was important, and I didn't want to stop him, but I was desperate too. I thought, if I could just touch his clothes as he walked by, that would be enough. But how? I mean, with such a big crowd.
It was such a big crowd, and they were all coming too. I wish they wouldn't. I mean, we would be there so much faster without all these people. Inside, I was screaming for them to go away.
"Go away. Get back inside, away from decent people," they said to me. People were shouting at me, but this time I wasn't going to take any notice. I kept going into the crowd, closer and closer to Jesus. But I couldn't get close enough. There were just too many people, and I wasn't strong enough to push my way through them. I could feel my excitement turning into despair, but then I looked down, and there it was, the edge of his cloak right in front of me. I leaned forward, and I reached out my arm as far as I could, and then I felt it. I felt the material brush past my fingers, and then the most amazing feeling. I can't describe it, but it swept through the whole of my body, and I just knew. I was healed. I tried to make my way out of the crowd, but then Jesus stopped.
"Oh, no. Please don't stop. Why has he stopped? What's happening?"
"Who touched me?" he said. One of his friends said, "Well, there's a crowd of people all around you. What do you mean?" I breathed a sigh and I looked for a way out of the crowd.
He was still not moving. And then he spoke again. "Someone touched me. Power has gone from me." And then this woman came from nowhere and fell at his feet and told him it was her. "Okay, so that's that. Now you know," I thought. Now we can keep going. Please." But he didn't move. He was totally focused on this woman now. And she was telling her life story. How she'd been bleeding for 12 years and the loneliness of it all. It seemed like an eternity. And then Jesus spoke.
"Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Daughter, go in peace."
"Your daughter is dead, Master. I'm so sorry. Your daughter is dead." It was like a bad dream. One minute I'm seeing this woman healed before my eyes, and then my servant is here saying, "My daughter is dead. It's too late. No need to bother the teacher anymore." I sank to my knees. Apart from the massive knot in my stomach, I felt numb. I didn't know where to turn. I looked up in desperation and my eyes met his. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Just have faith and she will be healed."
"Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace."
And so on we walked, and still the crowd would not leave us alone. My head was raging, and yet I was clinging on to something. Jesus was still telling me to have faith, and in my mind I could still see the face of that woman as he spoke to her.
"Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace."
At last, we were at home. The mourners were there, wailing. Jesus told them to stop. He said that my daughter was just sleeping. And then he took me and my wife and with three of his friends into the room where she lay. And as I saw her lifeless body, I fell to my knees again and wept. But Jesus took her by the hand and said, "Little girl, get up." And she sat up immediately. There was that smile lighting up that face, the smile I thought I would never see again. My darling girl, not dead, not even sick. My daughter was alive.
Later on that day, Jesus gave a little girl her life back. I think he knew he had done the same for me.
It is amazing. One of the things that we're thinking about today is, as you can pick up the story, is that God heals. Okay, so we've been, we're in the middle of a series at the moment, which is on God's overriding story, the big drama that covers, and it will cover us a year to cover it all. And we started with creation, and we've looked at the fall, and we're doing a series of four on what's called What is God Like? Okay, and last week we looked at what is God like? God loves. Okay, and next week we'll look at what is God like? God is generous. And the following week we'll look at the God is just. And this week we're looking at God heals. But if you were here last week, you'll know that we had the story of the leper who was healed. But the important thing about that story was the leper really wanted to know whether Jesus wanted to. And that's why it's God loves, because God wants to heal. Okay, he wants to heal all kinds of things. And in fact, if you read through, we just heard this wonderful story of Naaman. And we've heard the wonderful story of the woman touching the hem of Jesus' garment and also of Jairus' daughter. We've heard those stories. The Bible is littered from beginning to end of stories of healing. Lots of them, in fact. I'm not going to read all of the stories because otherwise we'd be here all day. But here, this is the psalmist assuming that God is doing something. "O Lord, heal me, for my bones are shaking with terror," crying out for healing. In Psalm 30, verse 2, it says this. It says, "O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit." And there's all kinds, in the psalmist, all kinds of times when the psalmist prays for healing or gives thanks for healing. And there are times it's not just physical healing, it's also emotional healing. So this one, here in Psalm 147, he heals the brokenhearted. So it's not just a physical healing, but if your heart is broken or has been broken, God can heal it. He heals communities. So in Isaiah 19, it says this, "The Lord will strike Egypt, striking and healing. They will return to the Lord, and he will listen to their supplications and heal them." But it's not only communities that are healed too, it's actually the land that God heals. Here's one. "When I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among the people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land." So there's physical healing, There's emotional healing. There's community healing. And there's healing of the land. But God is a God who heals. So right at the beginning of this story that we were thinking about, God created, spoke, and everything came into being. And you may remember I said that actually this great drama is in like five acts. You know, God creates, and then we screw up. All right? And then God forms community and gives us a way of living in that community. And what happens? We screw up. And then God comes and speaks through the prophets and teaches and challenges. And what do? We screw up. And then God comes in his Son to live among us and to show us what God is like. And what do? We kill him. We screw up. And then we're in this fifth act where God's reaching out, calling together his community, calling all things together under one head, which is Christ. And what are we going to do? Okay? This is this journey. Each time we screw up, each time something goes wrong, each time something is broken, God heals. God comes and heals. And he heals physically, and he heals relationally, he heals socially, he heals emotionally, he heals. It's an amazing thing, a healing, just in terms of the body. Pixie was reading me a book the other day and said that there was a surgeon who, just about to give a lecture, wrote on the board, on day five, God created pus. Interesting, isn't it? Because our bodies are designed to self-heal. Are they not? You know, on Boxing Day this year, I was just about to barbecue for breakfast with my son and daughter-in-law and their children. I was carrying an olive oil bottle, and I slipped on the steps, and I smashed the olive oil bottle on the ground, but unfortunately, as it broke, it went straight through my hand, and it cut two nerves, two tendons, and two arteries. So it was pretty disastrous for Boxing Day. It wasn't a great celebration that day, and I had to go to the hospital, and I had to have surgery that night. But here is my hand. This is an amazing journey of healing that has taken place. And a number of things had to happen for this to happen because God has designed the body to heal. Okay? But actually, also, he's designed us to be able to help and assist that healing. Okay? So the first thing I had to do is get to ED. And when I went to ED, they had to have a look at it and say, we need to remove anything that's in there that will continue to cause problems. Is there any glass in there? So they had to take a look. And then they had to operate, and then they had to stitch it up. And then there was this long process of healing that God's designed the body to experience. And so in this long process of healing, my hand started to recover. But it was still not done because my hand was really stiff. And when I went to hand rehab, they said, you're going to need to work on this hand because if you don't work on this hand, if you ignore it, it's just going to harden up and you won't be able to use it. And I remember this once before because I was playing football, which I used to do a lot, and somebody collided into my knee right here. And I had this injury which caused a bruise that went right the way around here. It was a massive bruise on my knee. And it was painful, my knee. And I wasn't doing anything. And a friend of mine, who's a coach for tennis in the UK, he said, you need to do physio on that leg, David, because if you ignore it, it's just going to harden. And I was ignoring it. And the only way he could get me to do something was arrange for one of the England football physios to turn up at my house, knock on the door and say, David, Alistair's told me, I need to tell you, you need to do something. So let's take a look. And then I started working on it and exercising. But like this, every day I have to work on my hand to continue to heal. And you'll still see, if you want to have a look, there is a scar, but it's healing and I've got movement. And I'm deeply thankful. I'm thankful to God. I'm thankful that God designed bodies to heal. I'm thankful for God. God gave surgeons, and I'm thankful that God gave people like the England football physio to come and tell me that I should stop being in denial and get on with it. You know, these are all important. But there's another form of healing too. And that is, well, there's another form of brokenness. There is a brokenness in relationships. There's brokenness in families. There's wounds in communities. There's wounds in churches. And there's wounds in nations. We see some big scars in nations at the moment where there's tears, the tearing of the fabric. But God is in the business of healing. In exactly the same way, these things can recover and heal, but it also needs us to participate in that process. For example, if there's a breakdown in any relationship, somebody needs to pay attention to what is still irritating that wound. If there's a breakdown of relationship, somebody needs to work together to help create stitches that will begin to heal and invest in healing that scar and that wound. If there is a breakdown of relationship, somebody needs to continue to work and move out of denial and work at that relationship so that movement comes again. Because if you don't, what happens? Those scars become callous and hard and tough. And that happens on people's hearts, and it happens in people's marriages, and it happens in people's families, and it happens in people's communities, and it happens in churches, and it happens in nations. We can't leave this and just leave it alone so that it just becomes callous. We have to give attention to it. Now, I don't know what's in your life. You don't know what's in my life. As we were praying, I just sensed God was saying, there's more brokenness, David, than you know. But I am a God who heals. This journey, Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, Act 4, Act 5, is all about the fact that God heals relationships. He heals people. He heals communities. And he wants to heal you. And he wants to heal the calluses that are being formed in your heart from brokenness that has gone on before and from brokenness that is taking place now. But there's no England football physio who's going to come and stand in this room. You've got me to tell you, get out of denial and let's begin to address those things so that healing can take place. Because this is the business that God is in. Remember, God's purpose is to draw all things together, all things, under one head and heal them in Christ. So we're going to offer an opportunity. Andrew's going to come and lead us in this. We're going to offer an opportunity if people would like to begin a process of healing, whether for something physical or whether relational or whatever it may be. We can't just leave it. We need to give attention to it. For God is in the business of healing. Let's pray for a moment. And as we are here, I invite you to be still and say to God, where in my life, God, do you want to begin that business of healing? And let him speak to you. God, you're a God of healing. And thank you that your healing balm, your healing spirit, your healing presence is here. Always wanting to. Help us to know that healing touch and to begin that healing process with you today.